Join us as we cover many an insane movie and numerous cult TV phenomenons. Are you ready to get jacked up? Are you with us? Then listen on.
And gents, we got Austin and Jen from I Hate Your Taste in Movies.
Hi.
What's in? Alrighty. So yeah, IMDb. It may be the go-to trivia site, but one thing it is always critiqued for is the over-subjective top 250 list. I needed some second opinions.
Yeah, it is quite the list.
So, Austin and Jen, when did you guys just start following movies, becoming film buffs?
For me, I'd say film buff is a bit of a stretch. I am really interested in movies, and I'm interested in how they're made. But I gotta say, I do still have a lot of blind spots when it comes to even like classic movies and stuff. And
you just love the whole just appeal of filmmaking, just learning about film history. You know, take it all seriously, because it's just like, well, it is what it is. What's going to be loved in one year is going to be hated in the next year, or, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely that's a part of it. There's definitely a lot of, like, actors that I really like, and then I'll kind of go on, like, rabbit holes where I'll just watch their entire filmographies. But, you know, I try to see what I can and, like, broaden my horizons as I go. That's part of the reason why.
You read a bunch of film history books and you would ask your mom and pop, can you rent that from the store? And you're like, no, it's terrible.
Sometimes. My parents also inflicted a lot of interesting.
Why would you want to watch that?
My parents definitely inflicted a lot of strange movies on me as a kid.
My mother would even want to know, what is it rated? I'm like, I don't know. It's your job. Don't tell me. Jen, how about you?
Yeah, I was definitely a big movie fan as like a kid. Like, it was kind of the thing where every weekend we would go to like the video store and rent a bunch of stuff. So that's kind of how I started my film knowledge, I guess. I also got really into horror movies like way too young. So that has influenced me greatly. It's just always been something I've been interested in, and something that's kind of been one of my go-to hobbies, which is why we ended up starting our podcast about it, so we can kind of share our favorite movies with one another.
Nice. Now you got me to force me to plug Come Up with Reviews, which they do a section called Video Store Memories that I think you'll dig.
Oh, nice.
They would take home placards at stores that were closing.
Oh, fun.
Like statues or other memorabilia that no one wanted. No, very cool. Okay. So when did you kind of start using IMDb and just like looking at how everyone liked to, back when there were forum wars and people just taking this all way too seriously?
I used to obsessively read the forums. I was very disappointed when they got rid of it. Even though they were trash, but it was just entertaining.
It was so trashy. It was like, how can anyone hate this? You must have ADD. And there'd be like 500 people giving reasonable arguments, and the rest were like, this still fucking sucks. And before finally someone would just close it down, and there would even always be like some sensible person saying, if you don't like it, it'll change. Don't worry, it'll change in 6 months. And yet there's just always someone, how can this have a rating? Is like, they take it so seriously. Why is this placed at this point in the whole thing? And it's like, oh my goodness, buddy. The world does not revolve around you. Oh, so I guess I'll just kind of get you in the mood. I saw that, what's it called? There's plenty of franchises in anime and three-hour war movies and slashers. So I kind of thought Free Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. I had liked some of the other stuff that McDonald and his sibling had done, but personally, I would replace it with Seven Psychopaths. That's, I think, a movie I think most would find more agreeable. And this one, I don't know, this did not catch my attention, even though the acting was really good.
Right. That's fair. I enjoyed the movie, but I think it may have been partly like the experience of watching it. Jen and I both volunteer at TIFF, the Toronto International Film Festival, and that was like the winner of the Viewer's Choice Award that year. So they always do like a volunteer viewing of the Viewer's Choice. And so it was just like a fun experience watching it. So that may have influenced my opinion of the movie. I really enjoyed it. But
well, and it does kind of stink because there are some movies that just don't hold up if you don't see them outside of a theater, or
right,
you yeah. see them, but you don't really think about them a year later. And you're like, oh, that's right, we did see that. That was good. But top 250? Well, maybe.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I do like Seven Psychopaths. That's a good pick. Although I'll still say, like, In Bruges is his best.
Yeah, and it's a very divisive film, too, because of how just, like, it's like everything just keeps hitting the fan. You yeah. thought Tarantino could be chaotic. It's like he goes a step further with the hitman subgenre. I also kind of was tempted to replace 2015's The Room with The Room. So I just feel like there's just more audience interaction, even though, like Rocky Horror, it doesn't have to be enjoyed for the right reasons.
Yeah, I think Room is one of those movies. There's quite a few of them on this list where it's like, they're not technically bad by any means, but they're just not super memorable. So it's kind of like, are you really worthy of the top 250? Like, you're not breakthrough in any way. You didn't like change the genre. You haven't influenced anything. You're kind of just like a decent movie.
It kind of hurts one's mind too when you realize it's like anything can literally be nominated regardless of whether it did well at the box office or even got any good reviews. If there's A-list actor in it, the studio can totally pitch, you know, to the Academy, hey, for $40 million, can you give so-and-so a nomination?
Right.
Please. I know it did well, and everyone thought the historical accuracy was questionable, but, I mean, it's got this person in it. What were some more questionable stuff you found on there, Jen? Like, that where you're just like, I saw it, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with it, or it's manipulative.
I mean, I don't know if this is a hot take anymore, but I do not think Forrest Gump is a very good movie. And it's like number 12 on this list.
It's become more popular to make fun of, and we kind of mentioned that earlier. David brought up Scarface. It's like, it's kind of a movie that everyone just kind of lampoons now versus
yeah.
what are they actually... Because at first it was hated, then it got reevaluated. Now it's kind of it's a Friday night kind of movie. Maybe a Sunday movie when you got no friends to be drunk with. So, but yeah, it is kind of concerning when you see other movies that are kind of considered crowd pleasers, like Stand By Me and Princess Bride, and they're like at the very end of the list where you're like, I guess no one wants an easygoing movie anymore.
Well, one that's really surprising me looking at it that's not on the list, as far as I can tell, is The Wizard of Oz. I'm kind of shocked that it's
that's
not on the list.
That's a very good point, because it's like, that's wow. everyone's childhood. Everyone
it's The
saw
Wizard,
that,
except Jen's. So Jen didn't see it as a kid. It was yeah, I'm really surprised that that's not on here. And there is like a good handful of older movies from the 30s and 40s. So it's not like it's all recent movies on here.
Yeah,
it just seems like a very notable exception.
Oh, I was totally mistaken in that. I thought Ben-Hur and Battle of Algiers had moved off of here, but no, they're still on here. It's just at the very, extremely very end.
Yeah.
And we even talked about earlier, is like movies we would replace. This is like, well, I would have sworn Rebecca or Mr. Smith Goes to Washington would have been up here when it first started, and maybe you could even replace The Wages of Fear with its remake Sorcerer. Even it's like one of the few remakes that's a little more intense, and even we even talked about we might even replace The Third Man with Touch of Evil, because that was basically the Dark Knight of its day and age.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Yeah, well, I even saw it in a film studies class, so it was even creepier seeing it in that custom college theater.
Right. I think I watched it I watched it in a film music class in university.
Oh, even better. And what's funny is it was kind of a cursed class. It was like, I was ready to go, and my father was miserable because one of our pets was dying. I'd already said my goodbyes like 3 days ago.
Oh, no.
So I had to cheer him up, trying to get to college on time. And then the college professor had like some personal tragedy, like with like two of his kids. I'm like, Jesus, this is a cursed class.
Oh, no. Wow.
I can't escape dreadful sorrow. Oh, I love Judgment at Nuremberg, but I'm going to cheat. I'm going to replace it with another courtroom trial movie.
Okay.
Maybe Rules of Engagement, because it's got an all-star cast, and it's a very gray area of dealing with war crimes, so... I'm a bastard. I can't help myself.
So I have a question. Number 82 on the list is Hamilton. Do we count this as a movie?
I brought it up earlier. I was like, it's a really damn good musical, but it's kind of technically, if it was released only to Disney, that's technically made for TV, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you don't make a musical adaptation into a movie. It's literally they just filmed the stage.
And yeah, we talked about that too, where it's like, as much as they try, it never truly feels cinematic. You still see parts of the audience chamber where it's like, it takes you out of it. So it's like,
Yeah. It's
a good movie, and it's a very catchy, it's doing everything the musical does, which is have the very catchy lyrics, but it's not really a movie. It's kind of like, yeah, it's a TV special that's really good.
I had that thought too, which is, for me, I'm a huge musical theater nerd. I'm wearing my Hello Dolly t-shirt right now. It's great. I'm a huge musical theater nerd, so I feel like I should be, you know, rooting for Hamilton to stay on this list. But I don't actually like Hamilton that much.
Replace it with Gigi.
Yeah. You know what I think I'm going to replace it with? I have to double check to make sure it's not on this. Is Chicago. Take another musical for a musical. I'm putting Chicago in there.
Okay.
Is Chicago not on this list?
That's surprising.
It used to be. I swear to God, it used to be. I was never huge on it, but I respected it because of the cast. And I was just like, yeah, it's going to be on here. There's going to be some giant epic or musical that's on here. You know?
Singing in the Rain is on here, which I totally agree with.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Definitely, I mean, keeping Singing in the Rain in here.
Yeah,
I don't think Chicago is here, so I'm gonna replace Hamilton, hot take, with Chicago.
Yeah, perfect.
Go for it.
Oh, man.
There is not a ton of musicals on here in general, so Austin, I feel like your genre isn't being well represented.
So maybe I should keep Hamilton on there just for the representation, and I'll, I don't know, replace, just looking for an example.
I'll tell you something what, so you don't I'll like. Replace Into the Spider-Verse and Endgame and Infinity War with Gigi.
Nice.
PCU, that's for a friend, because they're a big fan of that college cult comedy. What could part the last one go? It could be... Well, fuck, I said it before. Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie. Because it's a movie within a movie. But yeah, there's a lot of... It's like, there's even movies that I thought were like kind of the weaker Pixar films, just not as notable... that are on here. I'm like, I saw it once, it was good, but am I gonna watch it multiple times a year unless I got kids? Probably not.
Yeah, what is there on here? Coco, I'm seeing Inside Out.
Yeah, never saw Coco. I saw
Yeah, Coco is fantastic. I highly recommend Coco. It's all great. Right.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those crying in a theater movies.
Yeah.
Shed some tears during Coco.
I also saw Monsters, Inc. on here, and I got to admit, I do have a soft spot for Monsters, Inc. I don't know if it's top 250 movie, but I was kind of happy to see it there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point, because, I mean, there's definitely ones where you're like, that's good, but is it good good?
So. Yeah.
Well, I mean...
It's just a really interesting list. It's definitely going.
There's also
it.
way too many war movies. I'm like, yeah. Okay, how much depression do you want to inflict upon yourself? It's like, I can understand this one, these three World War II movies, two Vietnam movies. I think we're good, you know? Like,
yeah, you gotta spread out the genres or the
extremely
themes.
Smoking hot take, 1970. Couldn't get into the gimmick. So how about I replace it with Sicario?
Okay, I do like Sicario.
Less depressing, but still kind of psychological action mystery. And I'm pretty sure no one saw The Father.
Nope. That's definitely a movie. I saw it on the list, and I'm like, that's not going to be here for years. Like, that's only because it's a very recent Oscar winner. It'll drop off in like 10 minutes.
It's like, yes, Olivia Colman is good. Anthony Hopkins is good. But it was already controversial because it's like, who saw it except people on the festival circuit? You know? Oh, man. And there are a lot of Turkish and a few obscure Japanese films where you're like, where would I have even seen this? You know, it was definitely not at any video rental back in the day. Or a library, so someone released it somewhere, but it was not you know something's out when you couldn't even find it on the movie channels. And what about with franchises? I always kind of was like, Lord of the Rings should just be one entry. Like, it's already a three-part movie.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, I'm not a Marvel hater or anything, but I don't think that Infinity War and Endgame both deserve to be on here.
I was just looking at that. Yeah, that's not.
Well, yeah, you should have just one or two superhero movies. Like, if you're going to put up one DC movie, you know, put up one most of everyone can agree on, like the new. But again, this is where it also gets controversial because some of these have, again, extended director's cuts. And I'm like, well, technically that was never seen in a theater. So, like, I wouldn't have the new Justice League be on here because that was straight to streaming. So. And yes, like you say, yeah, pick Infinity War or the other one, but don't pick both. you can have one without the other. You can.
Yeah. And I think, like I was saying earlier, too, day. It has to be that it's really like influential in some way, that it's really changed the game. And I don't think every Marvel movie has done that. I don't think every superhero movie is worthy of being remembered. Like, there's a few that I could argue that go on here, but I don't need both of them.
Right. You need just one guy flying for the sky and kicking some ass and having a kick-ass one-liner. But it's like, I don't need Back to the Future mixed in with, you know, all the other guys teaming up. Because it really is kind of more of a Saturday morning special versus, like, but yes, they are, some of them are fun movies. And, but then, yeah, there's some other ones where you're like, notable, but probably a totally different entry. Like, I should go like on a subgenre list, like best neo noir, best superheroes of the decade movie.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, here's a hot take. How about I replace a Hannibal Lecter movie with another Hannibal Lecter movie? I'm a bastard. How about I replace Silence of the Lambs with Manhunter?
You would be incorrect. Go ahead and do it.
I'm a bastard. I'm sorry. I love the Tangerine Dream score in that. And the two creepy killers.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with Manhunter, but it's not better than Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's okay. I have a hot take, but I don't have anything to replace it with. But I don't have another opportunity to express my frustration at this movie. I do not understand the hype of Shutter Island. I really hated it.
We replaced it with like some other ghost movie.
Oh,
I forgot what
good.
It was.
Any ghost movie.
Oh, yes. Fuck it.
Sure. Love it.
But Jaws doesn't appear to be on here.
The Exorcist is not on here.
Yeah, I was just doing a quick scroll through the horror options, too, and it's missing a lot of really good stuff.
Yeah. There you
go. How would I replace The Pianist, because no one saw that, with The Exorcist?
Okay.
I'm going to replace Gran Torino with Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, which one?
The original.
Okay, I could never get into anyone. But Part 3 is awesome, because it's got Viggo Mortensen. So.
Right, yeah.
So that one you feel is up there with Psycho and the other classic terror films.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, it's legendary. It's influential. It deserves to be represented.
That's it. Okay. And then there's this 1955, what appears to be a Bollywood film called Pathar Panchali at number 48.
Yeah.
Who the hell has even seen this movie? Unless there's a Bollywood theater in your town, I doubt anyone has seen this.
Yeah. There's a number of movies I've never even heard of on here.
And see, I seem to recall it's like Bollywood films were separate from this list. And it's like, well, see, that's the thing. If you can't consume it, even if it's a good movie, I don't find it very fair if it was limited to only being seen in that particular country versus played one night in one theater and was never heard of or seen from again. You know, it's like, come on, you got to be able to consume this or get a way in if you're going to say this is the best.
Yeah, I can see that.
What would you replace Joker with?
Oh, God.
Oh, better yet. Falling Down. Or American Psycho. One of those two.
I think American Psycho's on here, isn't it? No?
Nope.
What?
Not on here. I swear it used to be or was nominated to be on here. But You know something's wrong when they got Free Idiots and just all other kinds of just crime movies like Usual Suspects and Leon the Professional, Old Boy, and they don't have that on here.
I'm sure it was on there. That's so weird.
A lot of Studio Ghibli as well. That's where I'm slack. Okay. I can definitely get behind Mononoke and some of these other. I saw Spirited Away like 3 different times, and I cannot get into that one.
Yeah,
that's a major blind spot for me. I think I've seen Howl's Moving Castle, and that's it. But everyone raves about it, so I'm like, I believe you that they're good movies.
Yeah, and I mean, some of them it is cool to see in a film studies class, like especially French comedy gems like Amelie. I'm like, yeah, that was very surreal, so that had to be seen in a theater.
Yeah.
What could we replace Braveheart with? Because does anyone even quote that movie anymore? It's accuracies and all. Freedom! Seems to be an alt-right promotion ring now.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, we got Gladiator. Do you need any more hack and slash?
Yeah. Seen them. You've seen one. You've seen them all.
Oh, yeah. Let's just replace it with the first Lethal Weapon.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm staring at Whiplash because I know I want to replace it, but I don't know with what.
Yeah, that was another one where it's like, just like Sound of Metal, it was appreciated for like its realism, but at the same time, it kind of only appealed to people who were like in musical, you know.
I mean, yeah.
Austin's a drummer, so you should let me know what you
think. Yeah, Austin.
Okay, I have a hot take, you guys. Keep in mind, I have not seen this movie since like 2004 or whenever it came out.
Saw it and I don't.
Hear me out. Drumline.
Ooh.
Yes. Okay. Whiplash out. Drumline in.
Do it. Yes.
The better drumming movie. You heard it here.
Hey, you know, there's something to be said about that. That's a very feel good movie.
I honestly can barely remember it, but I do remember thinking it was fun.
It went by so fast, and yet there were some interesting musical numbers. So, yeah, sure.
Yeah. All right. Love it. Can we get Green Book out of here?
Oh, that would be maybe with Mr. Captain Fantastic, please.
Yeah, a swap of Viggo for a Viggo.
Perfect. Or no, wait, screw that. A History of Violence.
Okay. Never saw it? Also good.
Okay, perfect. Let's go with that one. A Vigo for a Vigo for a Vigo. Oh. Can I replace Wolf of Wall Street with Wall Street?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't actually seen Wolf of Wall Street. That's a blind spot. Sorry about that. But it just feels like I don't like it.
I did like Wolf of Wall Street, but it's become the new, like, shorthand for film bros, the way, like, Fight Club used to be. Now it's Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, and I've been seeing a lot of toxic masculinity come out of that movie. So
yeah, like, it's just weird how these movies get this kind of following, I guess.
Well, this is going to be an even hotter take. I kind of feel like it did everything it set out not to do, and that was to not glamorize the guy. No, bullshit. I think you totally glamorized this dickhead.
I don't know. I get that argument, but I felt like at the end it was more like damning to the people who were allowing this man to succeed. You know how like it ends with him giving his talk and it cuts to the audience, and there's like all these people like watching who are so into it.
Nice to him, and you don't know if it's because they got the right to use his life story. It's like, no, this dude caused multiple bank bailouts. That's not cool. So yeah, Wall Street at least shows how the glamour can seduce everybody, and at the end of the day, it still doesn't work. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just got a soft spot for some of Oliver Stone and Spike Lee's movies. I don't know. I feel like that was way more cutting edge, and I mean, just the quotes, just greed is good. I mean, I'll remember that any day over Citizen Kane, which is a good movie that everyone should see once, but it's another older movie that everyone seems to also love to get into a piss war on. Oh, you haven't seen it? Oh, how dare you?
Not a real film fan. Yeah.
Not every film fan. I mean, we got two. Or we got one Orson Welles movie. Do you really need any others? Can we put Transformers the movie on here? God. The 80s one.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've seen the 80s one.
All good. I'm just kidding. Okay. I just know it was two of my friends' favorite movies where they're like, ah, I've seen it 500 times. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I didn't wear out any VHS tape that much. So what's your take on just some other of these franchises here? Like, we were kind of even talking about earlier how it's like there's really only needs to be like maybe two Star Wars movies. There doesn't have to be the whole shebang.
Yeah,
agreed. I would pick like one Star Wars movie, like nominate the best one to represent them all.
Empire of the Original. You really don't need Jedi because it's like Jedi is just leftovers and just ending it. But it's like it's really just free giant battles. It really doesn't have any of the storytelling that it's known for. Oh.
There's multiple Indiana Jones, it looks like.
Yeah, I would pick Raiders
and
Last Crusade. I don't need Temple as much as I dig the lines in it. We are going to die! and that's where I was frustrated, because it's like, Jaws used to be on here, so can we just replace Temple with Jaws?
Yes.
Yeah. Jaws absolutely should be on here.
Gonna need a bigger book. And I love V for Vendetta, but it's not for everyone. It's a very faithful comic book adaptation, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's as engaging a movie. And I think it's awesome, but best of all time? Not necessarily. We already got Leon the Professional, so I think we're Natalie Portman out. We got a cool assassin film with her. So how would I replace this with Space Jam?
Oh, fun.
I've seen it 20 times on VHS without wearing out the tape. It's got to be good.
I was just trying to figure out a way that I could get a Mel Brooks movie in here.
Oh,
good catch.
Right?
You got Catch Me If You Can, but see, that's a Frank Capra homage. It's a like it or hate it movie. So yeah, if you could replace this with like History of the World or Spaceballs or Men in Tights, that'd be great.
Yeah, see, I was going the Blazing Saddles route, but that's fine.
Ooh, even better.
Let's just pick a Western that we've never seen and replace it with Blazing Saddles.
Oh, okay, well, so there you go. Just like we were talking how it's like there's like Free of the Dollars movie and you only need Good, Bad, and the Ugly or just the first one. You don't need them both. So yeah, how would you replace one of those with Blazing Saddles, and then you replace Catch Me If You Can with like the producers or something?
Fun fact about the producers. We literally just recorded an episode on that. Oh, I made them watch it. It
did not go musical, over well. On the musical, not on the original.
But we discussed the original. It did not go over too well.
Oh, it's all good. Okay, we could...
I like it, though.
There's another very underrated Mel Brooks movie called The Seven Chairs or something that I think is just a hoot, but not many people have seen it.
I feel that way about Silent Movie. I feel like no one knows Silent Movie, but I really like it.
Would be another one. That's definitely one of my father's favorites. He's like, oh, so underrated. No one's seen it. I'm like,
exactly.
So there you go. We could replace that. And then, yeah, I could replace Return of the Jedi with Spaceballs.
Love it. This list is now just a Mel Brooks list. It's fine.
There you go. It's more now the world can actually laugh. Oh, I've seen In the Mood for Love, and so yeah, here's a hot take. I can't get into any of Kar Wai Wong's work. His movies just put me to sleep, and I don't even go to sleep. So what I end up doing is just getting frustrated because I'm like, I am not going to watch the same movie 20 times just to understand it better. I'm already disconnected because everyone's just staring for prolonged periods at the screen. I got to have something going on. I'm okay with having to figure out a few extra layers, but having to just, sacrifice 2 hours each single time is just too much. I'm sorry.
So there's a movie I've never heard of called My Father and My Son. So I'm just going to sacrifice that and put on Scream.
Oh, yes.
Oh, even better. The slasher that reinvented the wheel. There you go. So that... In the Mood for Love, I mean, I'm going to replace both The Departed with the movie it's a remake of, Infernal Affairs, and In the Mood for Love. Fuck, let's just put House of Flying Daggers on there.
Okay. I actually don't know what that movie is. I'm so sorry.
It's another Dynasty era kind of awesome epic. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon just to be on here, but it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Let's go for one of these other beautiful movies.
Fair enough.
Oh, and then there's The Valley of the Wind, where you're just like, we got a bunch of Miyazaki films.
Yeah, this is where I'm completely useless on this. I don't know a lot of them.
I couldn't find Forbidden Planet, so I might put that on there. Because that's a generally agreeable sci-fi epic.
Works.
But yeah, if we had to do comedies, I mean, we do have Life of Brian and Holy Grail, Monty Python stuff, but I'm not seeing anything like, I don't know, just one of those other just behind-the-scenes movies. Like, I could have sworn there was this other one that should have been on there. Nope. How about I replace Rocky with Rocky IV?
Oh, jeez, okay. I do like Rocky.
Oh, 400 blows. See, there's the other thing. There are some of these other French New Wave films where you're like, seen it, don't need to see it again. So how about I replace 400 blows with Run Lola Run?
Oh, jeez, I forgot about that movie. Yeah,
because that one really spun the wheel in terms of just. Just out of all the other Groundhog's Day kind of movies, I think that one did the formula way better, especially the animated sequence, because like what they couldn't afford, that even made it even more kind of surreal. And I thought about it earlier. Gone with the Wind. Should it still be on here?
Oh, I was about to be like, is that not on here? Yeah. It feels like it should be just out of
out of historical whatever, it was like the best-selling movie of all time for how long.
Me and my sister always will imitate one of the slaves, like came in like a spider.
It's I feel like it should maybe still be there.
How about 12 Years a Slave? movie, which
yeah, that's not one with a big rewatch value.
I saw it and I was like, there's good themes. I feel like so many other movies. Better yet, I'll replace it with Spielberg's most underrated courtroom drama, Amistad.
I'm trying to find another big epic on here that I'm not that big of a fan on, because I would like to replace something with Titanic.
Ooh, keep that off. Yeah. Keep that off.
Oh, the Titanic
right on there. Get it in the top 20.
Yeah. Number one, Titanic.
And we'll have to put Legends of the Fall and some other over the top 3-hour romance on here. What about Finding Nemo? I've seen it plenty of times. I don't think it rings as true as Toy Story.
Yeah, I think there's better animated movies on here.
Oh. Hell, they even have Kill Bill Volume 1. Why not Volume 2? Where you actually get the resolution.
I don't know. Volume 1's got, like, good stuff, though. I like the anime sequence. Oh,
amazing. Now, if any of you have got anything else to say.
Yeah.
Oh. I also feel like there should be way more cutting-edge, like, low-budget movies. Unfortunately, other than Tarantino, they don't have many low-budget movies that broke. Yeah.
That is a great point. Where is The Evil Dead?
Oh, God.
I want Dawn of the Dead, even.
Yeah, Night of the Living
Dead. No Romero or Raimi, because, yeah, you could argue, especially for Evil Dead 2, and I will definitely replace one of the Lord of the Rings movies with Army of Darkness. Totally as much gore as it should have had, and it didn't. But I mean, if I can quote it more than Last Action Hero, I mean, come on. There's some quotes. Good, bad, on the man with the gun. But yeah, there's like Romero's, I mean, Dawn of the Dead, or even the remake of Dawn of the Dead could at least, we already got enough Ingrid Bergman, so I'm going to replace Fanny and Alexander with Dawn of the Dead.
I can relent to that.
Yeah, relent. I sign off on that.
Okay.
It's begrudging. There is
plenty of Ingrid Bergman. You see The Seventh Seal, you'll have haunting memories of it forever. I don't think I need 5 more of his movies on here. As awesome as he apparently is, and as many of us have to basically find time to buy half the Criterion collection. Or just wait for it to come on Turner Classic Movies and save ourselves $40. I did replace Hotel Rwanda or one other movie with Blood Diamond, but yeah, we've had enough war movies. I think we have enough bloodshed. So
yeah, there are quite a few war movies, but also one war movie that's not on here that I would argue could be on here is Jacob's Ladder.
That's a good question, because it's like when you got an underground kind of psychological thriller with some terror elements, that's kind of an underground movie in a way that's constantly mentioned anytime there is something similar to it that comes out. You've kind of made some kind of point.
Exactly. Very influential.
And I could never get into any of Adrian Lyne's other borderline erotica, but yeah, that one is fortunately sex-free, so I will. Oh. They also have The Kid with Charlie Chaplin, but I don't recall that being as gripping as some of his other ones, so.
I mean, we've already got The Great Dictator on here. Do we need 2 Charlie Chaplin?
Got Chaplin, we got Buster Keaton, and I mean, can we replace it with Drunken Master 2 by Jackie Chan? It's
sure.
Like,
sure.
You watch it, you will be guffawing for hours. Like, Jackie Chan has never been better. Not even in his American stuff. Not even in his other Hong Kong stuff, where he's just a cop who outwits a bunch of violent criminals. I mean, this one, he is just doing so much other sneaky stuff. Is like, yes, this is why. This is the movie where I finally just got him. I was like, yes, he definitely is Keaton / Chaplin 2.0. Maybe 3.0, since he's both of them combined with him. So, oh, yeah. And I pretty much suggested a bunch of other ones. Like, there were some other Serbian war movies on here and Bollywood stuff, like Gangs of Wassenpur and Tangerines. And then I forgot what I replaced Claws with, but that was another just foreign animated movie with an American voice cast where I was like, yeah, I guarantee you no one has seen that unless it came on Netflix one night.
Yeah, I was just in that area of the list and like, I've never heard of that or that or that or that. So
I know, I'm kind of scrolling and looking for ones I'm not familiar with so I can just take them out and be like, I don't need you. Although some of them I'm sure are good and I'm just ignorant.
Yeah. Can I replace There Will Be Blood with The Shining?
The Shining's on the list.
Okay, then Lincoln. Different Daniel Day-Lewis performance.
I do really like Lincoln. I'm a nerd, and I saw Lincoln multiple times in theaters, and I was like, am I a 90-year-old woman?
Much like LA Confidential, I could not believe that it was 3 hours. I'm like, well, could have fooled me. It went by like...
oh my gosh.
At the speed of light. I'm like, oh my god, that was great.
One of the times I saw Lincoln in theaters, I always remember this, but people were like so wrapped and caught up into it that at one point people were like, oh, it's going to pass. They got the votes. And I was like, well, yeah. We know that it passes. Famously. Oh, that's just it.
Some people were clearly asleep during government class. Oh. Okay. So that's good. I'm glad Shining is on here. I'm glad it's an agreeable.
Yeah.
Lewis replacement. I mean, I could have sworn Last of the Mohicans was on here at one point, but fortunately In the Name of the Father is, which I definitely recommend.
Well, I mean, something could have got booted real recently because I did see Dune on here, and didn't that like just come out a hot minute ago?
And that's just it too. It's like, no, it shouldn't even be on here because it hasn't been 10 years, you know? It's just like,
right.
When we're annoyed it
hasn't
when we
been
see...
10 minutes.
Exactly. And so if a movie, and I'm Turner Classic Movies has been doing that lately, and I'm like, you are pissing me off, guys. It has not been 20 years. This movie came out in 2012. Ugh.
I'm trying to think of what else.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I thought of replacing Logan with The Wolverine, but I'm just going to do away with it altogether. I'm going to replace it with Pariah, which is a great LGBTQ movie everyone should see.
Okay, yeah.
D. Reyes has gone on to do a bunch of other HBO hit movies, and if you like what's her name who did The Wrinkle in Time update and a bunch of these other just movies that When They See Us miniseries.
Oh, yeah, Ava DuVernay.
Yes, if you like Ava DuVernay, you'll definitely like D-Ray's style. But Pariah is just like, this is everything you could possibly want in an independent movie, where you can just, the actors do such a good job of just displaying what the script is going for with the subtext. Everyone instantly knows what's on each other's mind. Hmm. Oh, well, what do you know? It's in the Criterion Collection. Thank you. Hmm. And this is where I was bummed out, because I did actually go the extra mile and see it after one of my professors was like, you have to see it. And then it was like, can I at least get some extra points for actually going the extra mile? But no, I saw it because it was just a damn good movie and it was on the HBO stations quite a lot.
Yeah.
You'll really like it. It really is. It's a natural heart warmer. As opposed to just feeling like, oh, well, it's a Hollywood ending, so of course it has to end happy, you know?
Right.
What about
Gone? I'm not very good at this. I'm so sorry. I'm trying to,
I think really better than most. You mentioned some other ones that is like, well, where was my head? Why did anyone else not mention that?
The other one that my brain keeps going to now that you say, give us that nice compliment, and then I'm gonna be like, what about this movie? Legally Blonde, I really wish was on this list.
Okay, perfect.
Yes.
Let's just have that replace Wild Tales, a movie
sure,
that
love
I
it.
Definitely saw and don't remember a thing about. If we're gonna have Wes Anderson on here, why are we having all his recent stuff? Replace Grand Budapest Hotel with Rushmore.
Yeah.
This is the ultimate quotable movie with a good cast. It's like Budapest Hotel, I saw, and for me personally, I'm in the minority, but I thought the tone was all over the place. And I was just like, I love the cast, I love the art direction, I don't care about any of these characters or the outcome.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to follow Austin's lead with Legally Blonde, and I'm going to replace Ford versus Ferrari, a complete dude movie, with Clueless,
right.
A complete girl movie.
There you go. No, love that's it. Good, because it's like, yeah, we were mentioning earlier, it's like Mangold, anytime you watch one of his movies, he has too much of a workman-like attitude. He can make it epic, but at the same time, like you say, he doesn't know how to really make it appeal beyond just the simple layer of, oh, I'm going to fight you. And it's just like, yeah, it doesn't need to be on there. That's like you say, I mean, if you don't like car chases, you are not going to like it. So why the fuck is it on there if it's limited in its audience in some capacity? So it's like, yeah, Clueless gets quoted quite a lot.
Yeah, it's got the lasting power.
Yeah, it had a TV spinoff. I don't see Ford versus Ferrari having that.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
The other one, again, I'm going with the comedies. I'm sorry, I'm booting some of these, I don't know, serious movies off, but
Beyond Genesis can go.
In terms of quotability, I'd like to nominate The Jerk.
Yes!
Yes?
That is our ultimate Lake House movie, fun fact.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, Jen, man, hasn't seen that yet, but she will, don't worry.
Yeah, I have not.
Every time we see someone bring a new dog, we're like, did you name it Shithead?
Shithead! The dog's Shithead. Name is Shithead.
Well,
I did go through a phase of cross-stitching The Jerk quotes.
Ooh.
So I do have a nice little cross-stitch in my living room that says he hates these cans.
You should label every can of tuna.
Yeah.
He hates this cat. I've never seen Knights of Cabrivia, and I probably never will, so I'm going to replace that with Gremlins.
Oh,
love that. Great
or
choice. Part
two, one of the two. One, a Gremlins movie has to go on here. Bridge on the River Kwai, good, but come on. Everyone remembers the last 10 minutes of a 3-hour movie. We already got, and I have seen Lawrence of Arabia countless times.
Oh my gosh.
And so I was like, I only need one David Lean. So this is going to get replaced by Wishmaster.
I like that. I like that we're bringing in different genres, different styles.
But surely everyone else has seen that, or nay.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay.
I actually have not, but that's okay. I haven't seen anything.
I'll send it. As if it's any consideration, then really, like hell, Alexandra. I need some other movies where just the shit hits the fan. Just like, just some great, well, hell, like, It Happened One Night. Again, that's definitely not a Claudette Colbert or Clark Gable movie I've seen, but it should totally be replaced with Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. I could have sworn also that there was a bunch of John Hughes movies on here, like Breakfast Club or Ferris Bueller, Pretty in Pink.
Excellent point, yeah.
Yeah.
None of them were on here at all. Not even Home Alone, for fuck's sake.
It's that is like, weird.
Very surprising.
Well, which one would you put on? Which one would you nominate?
Oh, so I'm going to replace The Passion of Joan of Arc with just Ferris Bueller, just because it's just a great cast. Mia Sara, Matthew Broderick, Alan Ruck, and just... great soundtrack, great movie references. Don't tell me you did not shits and giggles when you see the valet guy steal their car.
I love Ferris Bueller, breaking so I'm on board with wall.
It definitely is an ultimate just skipping school kind of movie. Like, these guys were guys who did it because they were fed up. Their teachers are stupid. Their parents are over-controlling. You can kind of get behind it versus the other movies where someone's an asshole and they try to justify it. It's like, no, they totally know what they're doing and they're willing to go along with it because this is like, their life sucks. They got to get away. They got to breathe. They got to just check out the museums they otherwise would never be taken to. You know? Oh. And we got this other movie called Andrei Rublev by Tarkovsky. Again, never seen it, and we already got Stalker on here, and I already suggested the original Solaris, so what would you replace this movie with that's a crowd pleaser?
I don't know if it's a crowd pleaser, but I was looking for something that I would take off, and I could put on Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Ooh, very nice. Like, so
Paul Newman, Elizabeth Taylor, can't go wrong.
Oh, baby.
Talk about crowd pleaser.
Something for everyone, indeed.
Oh, man. That's great. So we had... Again, I do not like Alejandro Iñárritu, however the fuck I spell his surname, but you might know Amaro as Peros. And having just constantly just been frustrated watching Babel and all those other just depressing movies which just leave me with nothing, I feel like this needs some post-apocalyptic movie on there.
Okay.
Just some end of the world or just...
I mean...
Or just something just hysterical, just like that... Just a satire you couldn't even do today, something. How about a bullet dog?
I don't know that one.
Okay. Totally recommended. Definitely not politically correct, but definitely interesting in just that it's definitely a satirical kind of sci-fi that if anyone tried to do it today, it would just feel heavy-handed. I also kind of feel like District 9 was on here at one point, but it's a like it or hate it, so I'm not going to bother. But there's a lot of sci-fi that could be on here, but unfortunately, it seems like everyone just only will put it on here if there's an explosion in it. So, I don't know. What about Inside Out? Because we got Toy Story, Monsters, Inc. Do we really need another Pixar movie?
Up is on voice here, cast. Too.
I'll give it that. Amy Poehler is in this, so.
It's, right, it is really good.
All right.
I guess we can keep it, but I don't think it's as good as like Toy Story. I think that's like the golden standard Pixar at this point.
Yeah.
Definitely the second movie I recall seeing in the theater when I was a young boy. So.
Yeah. Out of the ones that are on here, it's probably the one that I would cut first. Not because I don't like it though, you know?
Yeah, no, we talked about Shawshank, whereas, like, there's so many other good prison movies, like, Birdman and Rocket Jones. Got Cool Hand Luke, so, I mean, if I want to watch more prison stuff, I'll just watch Oz, which is a great show, but it's not a movie, so. And then there's Sherlock Jr., which I doubt anyone has really seen, unless they are a Buster Keaton.
I just got to that and didn't know what that was, so.
This is like, okay, we got Kurosawa's greatest hit, so it's like, I think we're pretty good. We gotta just, like... Just get something is like everyone has generally seen and just said, yeah, it's like they recommended to their coworker at work or they let their cousin borrow the DVD, you know? It's like we need something kind of more like that. It's like as opposed to, oh, I saw it years ago. It was great.
Right.
I was with my grandparents when they babysat me. It was great. You know? you mentioned so many good ones, Mel Brooks.
I mean, any of them can go on there.
You mentioned Screamed, and you mentioned a bunch of other just ones that's like generally everyone's going to agree on. So it's like.
Yeah, trying to think of like crowd pleasers, but ones that were at least.
How about The Howling?
Somewhat influential. What?
How about The Howling?
Howling's good.
Yeah.
Joe Dante, because I mean, we're trying to get Sam Raimi Romero on here. It's like, you got to have The Howling, because that's a fun, just kind of. Werewolf mystery and just having a bunch of other kind of who's who of horror guys get sneaky cameos in there is pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. We need more werewolf representation on this list for sure.
Yeah, and that's where I really am surprised because I could have sworn there were a bunch of Universal classic horror movies on here. There was definitely the original Frankenstein on here at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And having on Svengoolie, I can definitely say that one is still an emotional. Right.
Yeah, it is surprising. Like, there's a few, you know, classic Hollywood films on here, but, you know, you'd expect to see some like Bela Lugosi, some like Boris Karloff, some Vincent Price, that too. Kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, I would have thought that White Zombie or something would have gone on here. Yeah. It was like, nope, not on here.
Yeah.
And we got every other kind of twisted. Dividing movie on here. I will say this, Trainspotting does not make me feel good, and There's already plenty of other Tarantino type dark comedies. I tried to get Boondock Saints on here, but it seems like nowadays everyone seems to either just not like it because the filmmaker behind it is a dickhead. So, can you think of any other just kind of, oh, how about Very Bad Things?
I don't know that one either.
You know that? Okay, well, so that's the one that got actor turned director Peter Berg kind of on the map, and it was another one. It was not popular at the time, but nowadays it's kind of a go-to. Like, you'll see a review talking about the new dark comedy, and they will, more often than not, I will see a reference to Fargo, Pulp Fiction, or Very Bad Things.
Okay.
So, okay. I totally recommend it because it's just enormous cast. Christian Slater, Cameron Diaz, Jon Favreau.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's a very big cast.
And it was one of those, too, where it sounded so similar to something just sleazy I might have seen on one of those movie channels back in the day. I was like, no, not anything at all like it. It basically is just a total just a party went wrong, someone covered up a murder, and now how long before someone spills the beans? It does like a really good job of just keeping you in suspense. You're like, oh, someone is going to say something, or someone's going to kill the other just to cover it up, and then it's going to really go to hell in a handbasket. And the music is fun, not too distracting, because it seemed like every other 90s movie would have they got funded because they had like every other record company playing something on there, and it doesn't have too distracting a soundtrack, but it also has a pretty unique one at the same time. So yeah. Totally recommend it. And
well, another musical that I'd like to maybe bring to the table, West Side Story.
Thank you. Cause
oh, is that not on
that's
here?
That's not
it
on
is
here.
Not on here. And I
the Wizard of Oz and West Side Story, like two giant holes.
Let's
here.
Replace that with The Three Colors Red. Cause come on, we love Julia right. Binoche, but no one's fucking seen that movie unless they were in a running. Do I don't know the ticket. Stand manager at an art house cinema? No. No one saw that. Well, hell, this is going to get even more moody. We can either replace it or just add it. We need at least one more David Lynch movie. So I'm going to replace. I know everyone seems to like Barry Lyndon. I do not. So I'm going to replace that with Lost Highway.
Okay, fair.
Or better yet,
I was waiting to see which Lynch you were going to pick, so that's interesting.
Well, see, Elephant Man is already on here, and I just think Lost Highway is just even more agreeable because it's just another just, you're going to have, each time you watch it, you're going to have to get a different interpretation of it. So I'm like, I think that's a better one as opposed to that one was too violent or that one made my head hurt too much. but yeah, no, that's a good point on West Side Story because I just saw that excellent Rita Marino documentary, and I was just like, yeah, this definitely used to be on the top 250. I swear.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's not.
I saw it in junior high and I was instantly in love with it. I was like, yeah.
It's held up surprisingly well too. Like I'm excited to see the remake that's coming out this winter, but
I'll see it.
And yeah, like I'm excited just because I am excited whenever musicals come out, but yeah, well, like it's so
really
good.
Can't do anything. My opinion, and I know there's many who just love to make jokes about Crystal Skull and all that, and it's like, well, here's the thing, compared to many others like Coppola who went astray or had a like two hits and then the third one not so good, he's always trying out something different and new. He really can't do any harm to his reputation. He's so right. diverse, so it's going to be interesting to see how he interprets it and how he styles it, so
yeah.
Let alone stages it.
Well, that's it. But yeah, original West Side Story definitely on here.
Definitely.
Yeah, good call.
Recommended Gigi. I think that's another one that's agreeable. But yeah, no, I got no other musicals. I think everyone else might. Just one that's.
I think those are the ones that I think should be here. But
what about Hairspray?
Original or
you love it? The musical.
I mean, I do like it. I don't know if it's top 250.
Okay.
It's a good quality. Question.
It's not as good as Chicago. I can't put it on the same list.
Did okay. You mean
I know you sing that one a lot.
I mean, I do.
This needs a Waterworld or Battlefield Earth. I'm just kidding.
No. feel like we've added some good ones.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
I'm happy with most of our picks.
I have seen Wall Strawberries again. Ingrid Bergman is an acquired taste. We already got The Seventh Seal. I definitely don't need this one on here. And I know someone's going to throw a tomato at me saying, how dare you? This needs either version of Ocean's 11. In my opinion.
Fair.
You can either do the Rat Pack one or you can do the New Hollywood top 10.
But yeah.
I had cousins who were very into the latter, so I mean, I saw it plenty of times.
Yeah.
They were obsessed with crime comedies. They were all into just seeing the robbers get away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing wrong with a good heist movie.
Oh, also just one where you actually remember it, and it's just not... It's kind of much like Singing in the Rain, where, you know, half the time it's making fun of Hollywood, and I like how it's making fun of the Vegas scene, how everyone is basically a sucker, so you don't really feel sorry for them being robbed.
Right.
And no one gets hurt. These guys pull it off for simple trickery and utter just misleading. No guns were involved.
Excellent point.
Other than pretending to be a SWAT team. Then we got a Separation. Oh boy. I was so bored by that one.
I don't think I've seen that one. I feel like I'm not missing much.
Downers on this list.
It was an Iranian filmmaker, and I cannot get into his work at all. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but I was just like, this picture of my ass. It's like, this was just one of those where it's just like, you could easily sum it up in two sentences. You didn't have to go for the whole movie just elongating it. And I'm like, there are so many other movies you could do that would have something to do with family recouping and marriage suffering, you know, and it's like, maybe it's a cultural thing, but I've seen so many better Iranian movies. That one did not do it for me. So if I could replace it, what's a drama that just like you think would just be more agreeable, like you would actually just think about and just I thought The Farewell with Awkwafina was really good, but not enough people saw that one. So I mean,
yeah, same with Minari.
Minari?
Yeah, it just came out a couple years ago. It was really good. It's very, like, quiet drama kind of thing.
Okay, here we go. Yes. Okay. I did hear about that one. That's right. Okay, sure. Let's put that on there. And then we got Once Upon a Time in America, and I gotta say, it's not Godfather. I get that there are a bunch of people who haven't seen Godfather and just to be cool, and they're just like the guys who pretend to be into the Beatles. And it's like, but I legit do get behind the Godfather because it's. How would I replace that with The Untouchables?
Okay, yeah.
Different De Niro crime epic.
Yeah.
Blasted at the time. Well, actually, better yet, since we're on De Palma, how would I replace that with Carrie?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Good call.
You can't. Because Hellraiser is an acquired taste, so I'm not going to force that upon people, especially when it was bashed at the time. So how about, yeah, it just
only I'll force sense. That upon people.
I love Hellraiser. I'm not even a Clive Barker Says guy. I'm just like, I love parts 1 through 6. Keep it there.
Yeah, some of Clive Barker's other work I find harder to get into, but Hellraiser, I don't know. I think it's just good.
And the fans, I don't know why. They feel like they have to be worse than the ones for Halloween and Star Wars. Where, oh, how dare you hate that one? It's like, someone saw it. Why else do you think they kept making them? I mean, there's almost more of them than Puppet Master. Jesus. Not true, but you know what I mean. They had it going for a while because they needed something to combat all the Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th movies.
Oh, speaking of, we got to put Nightmare on Elm Street on this list.
Definitely debatable. Just which one? The very, very original or New Nightmare?
Okay, very, very original. If I had my way, we would have original, we would have Dream Warriors, and we would have New Nightmare.
It very
but I
is
would just stick with the original because you need that one for the others to work.
Yes. Part 3, I think, is fun, but it does kind of have a lot of actors who don't seem to be comfortable because it's their first time out.
Yeah. But it's
would you put
fun.
That on it's there so over? Oh, I know you would. But I was gonna say, would you put that on there over like Halloween or in addition to Halloween or?
See,
if we're talking about like.
I mean, we already got John Carpenter's The Thing.
That's true.
Yes, and I love The Thing. I think that's better than Halloween. And also, if we're going to do Slasher, Austin knows this, but I love Black Christmas. I would also put that on over Halloween.
I think we should totally try revisiting those, because those are just kind of just more just, again, just underbelly of movies that were not as well known, but yet are very constantly influenced and referenced in every slasher these days. So yeah, I think this is it too. I mean, because most of these movies on here are on here just because they inspired a bunch of copycats or first their kind. So if we can't have, that's just it. It's like, we don't have enough movies that are like straightforward, like buddy action films or slashers. So it's like, yeah, why can we not have some of those on here that, in fact, if I had my way, I'd have at least one of the 48 hours movies on here. Just because the dialogue in that is just so awesome. Just like just seeing Nick Nolte and Eddie Murphy play against each other. And just the scene where they just take down the redneck bar is just is a must see. Speaking of Walter Hill, I could have sworn The Warriors was on here, but I have always struggled to get into that one, despite acknowledging the pop culture side of it. Come out and play.
Right.
This is like. Yeah, no, I think you guys did one hell of a time. I think you beat this list up.
Excellent. I'm realizing there's not a lot of like sports movies, which I'm generally fine with because I don't really like sports movies, but I would. So I was looking for something to replace. I'd also like to bring up a League of Their Own. I don't know if A League of Their Own would beat out Rocky, but I do love A League of Their Own.
There's no crying in baseball. Yeah, see?
Yes.
There you classic. Go. I mean, yeah, there you go. That could replace Forrest Gump.
Sure, there we go.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks. Thanks. Great.
Oh, here's a hot take. How would I replace The Matrix with Cloud Atlas? Different Wachowski film.
Or replace The Matrix with Speed, different Keanu film.
Ah, oh, they were talking.
That's awesome. We talked about that last time. It was like, yeah, why the fuck is Speed not in here? Because that's like one of the few disaster movies everyone can get behind. Just,
yeah.
Just simple. This madman. You know, rigs up a bus with a bomb. I mean, that's all you need. That's all you need. Every other movie is just way too complicated or has just so much overacting or just laughable, you know, third halves, third portions. There's no such thing as third halves, but there's always an ending in some of those other asteroid or volcano movies that just makes you go, for fuck's sake, this only worked in the 90s. This doesn't hold up now. So, yeah. Oh, awesome. Yes. Speed. Give me what I need. I also just, I don't know. Shit. There's so many other epics. I feel like we should pick Ben-Hur or Gladiator. I don't think we need both.
Yeah.
As awesome as them both are. So, if you've seen either one, I guess, would you go with Gladiator and just... Because that's basically the same as Ben-Hur, and Ben-Hur, as close as you get to the epicness, is in the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'd probably rather sit through Gladiator.
Even though it has...
A glowing review right there. But
yeah. I'll suffer through that one.
hell, there's got to be like just one final one to close this off. Mm-hmm. Can we put Predator on there?
Why not?
I mean, we got Aliens, but we might as well have Predator. That's like a double feature. So.
Yeah. I mean, I won't be putting Alien versus Predator on there anytime soon. We can have Alien and Predator.
That's a silly junk food movie. That's not anywhere close to Top 2.
Yeah.
See. So, yeah. Got a lot of slack job. Not going to say the last part. That was one messed up movie. Oh, boy. Well, hell, we definitely don't need any more Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that just about does it.
Awesome.
Good catch.
Yeah,
us.
I think that was some solid picks.
Totally. Totally. You guys owned it. So I'm going to let you promote your show.
Okay.
Austin, do you have the spiel ready?
Yeah, sure. So our podcast is called I Hate Your Taste in Movies. We release new episodes every Tuesday. Myself and Jen and our friend Jackie, our other co-host, we all have very different tastes in movies. So we make each other watch some of our favorites every week. Usually at least one of us haven't seen them, and it does not always go over well. We release new episodes every Tuesday. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Twitter at I Hate Your Taste.
Stellar. And so what would you say was the one that really divided you guys? Hey, I see why you picked it. I get it. But I cannot get into this with all my iron might.
Well, see, that situation, I think, happens a lot. Where it's like, I can appreciate that you like this movie. It's doing nothing for me.
As a person, but damn it, that acting was terrible. Score was melodrramatic.
True Lies was a tough one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely another one where it's just like, I do notice some, despite the tight editing, there are some ones where it's like, oh, brother.
Yeah, that one was a hard one to get through.
There is definitely, I will say this, the adultery aspect of that movie is not necessarily needed.
Right. Yeah, that was very hard to watch in this day and age.
So it's very complicated because I feel like the rest of it is very underrated. And at the same time, I can't remember the last time I saw it like I did all the Aliens or Terminator.
There was a lot in that movie where it's like, oh, this could have been good, but then there's all this crap in it that's just so awful now.
Yes, especially post Me Too, where you're just like,
yeah, exactly.
Everybody's women are wives, not property.
Yeah.
Arnold, in a way, this is basically his true life story before it became his true life story. True Life, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no.
And it does get even more annoying when you're having to see all these movies that star, I don't know, someone like Kevin Hart or The Rock nowadays, where you're like, okay, but are they really an actor? Because you've seen them act in other serious stuff that wasn't good or that no one saw, but now in all the ones that everyone knows them for is like they're really not giving it their all, so you're not even seeing the best that they have to offer as a performer. And it's like, what was it? I think someone was saying Emily Blunt should just start out doing superhero movies. I'm like, nope. Emily Blunt is already on her way to becoming the superstar that she is. She chose atypical kind of dramas that were just amazing. So she didn't need to play Black Widow. No, awesome. So yes, I take it you're on all the platforms, YouTube, Spotify.
Yep. Yeah, we're pretty much everywhere.
I hate your platform! No. That would be awesome. You did a follow-up and you guys are bashing all the streaming sites. Who has better shit? Netflix or Prime or Shudder or all that shit.
Yes.
All right, Stellar. Well, you guys keep remaining safe out there.
Yes, you too. Thank you for having us. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks. This is so fun.
You guys rocked it. Thank you ever so much.
We'll return after these messages.
Hey, feeling down? Feeling low? Not enough podcasts about movies in your life? Why not try?
They must be destroyed on sight!
The new podcast cure-all, sure to get you right with the world and on a path to better living. We have exploitation, we have Italian horror, we have zombies, we have slashers, we have crime films, we have spaghetti westerns, we even have sci-fi and sex comedies. So take a dose of...
They must be destroyed on sight!
As needed, and let the hosts, Lee Russell, Daniel Harper, Paul Romali, and the odd guest host cure what ails you.
Warning, may cause atrophy, African consumption, black fever, bone shave, tin puff, colic, cramp colic, dropsy of the brain, elephantitis, grocer's itch, jaundice, mania, miasma, mortification, palsy, Pox disease, rheumatism, scurvy, St. Anthony's fire, summer complaint, and worm fit in some people. Consult a physician before listening.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this?
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am, in the most sincerest defenses, disappointed in you.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. Oh, I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that. Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get out of.
It's unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you shouldn't be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this movie.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist. Watching this film again, I had all of this like little nerd glee with everything that kept
little history
up.
Doll yeah, popping up
absolutely.
At you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was.
How
be
did
a rough
you watch
one.
This shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
Hey everybody, I'm Corey
and I'm Zach. And we're the hosts of Podcasting After Dark, a cast dedicated to late-night horror and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, often found on HBO and Cinemax.
You know, the movies your parents didn't want you watching as a kid. You can find us every other week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and Stitcher.
This is what you want.
This is what you get.
It's time, let's check our cue, baby. Pair it with a couple brews, baby. We love good movies. We love the bad ones too. So we watch them all and pass their lessons on to you. Oh yeah.
Bana 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 out. Bana 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 out.
Everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. With the one last plot holes, a gratuitous movies. It's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy.
At EILFM.podbean.com.
Welcome to Who Was She Podcast. I am your host, Tara Jabari. After a decade working in documentaries, marketing, and all things digital media, I found that podcasting is a strong medium to share stories. After years of producing for others, I decided to start my own biographical podcast. Who Was She will focus on the life of a woman throughout Baha'i history. The first season is about Lydia Zemanoff. Lydia's story explores the subjects of the power of language and faith. Her father invented the universal language Esperanto, and she came from a Jewish family and became a Baha'i. She grew up during World War I and was killed during World War II in a concentration camp, despite heroic efforts to save her life. How can one person's life intersect with so many others, connect across borders, and inspire a biography which inspired this podcast? Over the next few weeks, I will share her story with you and the lives that were most affected by her and those who affected her life as well. They include her father, Ludwig Zemanoff, her spiritual mother, American journalist Martha Root, and the Baha'i German soldier Fritz Mako, who worked for the resistance undercover while having to serve the Nazi party. I want to thank the author Wendy Heller and George Ronald Publishing for their blessing to let me use Heller's biography, Lydia, The Life of Lydia Zemanoff, Daughter of Esperanto, as a main and instrumental resource for this podcast. So please subscribe and learn about this amazing woman who traveled through three continents in an effort to bring unity through the power of language. You can also find more information on our Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest at Who Was She Podcast. Music was composed and performed by Sam Red. I am your host, Tara Jabari. Join us next time as we begin our journey about Lydia Zemanoff.
Are you sick of the same old stale podcasts? Well, then join Vanessa and Darren as they dissect movies of all kinds. The two lifelong cinema lovers bring their favorites, curiosities, and first-time watches to the operating table and inject them with a healthy dose of snark. Then there's the waiting room, where they examine books and short stories. So just look for them on Apple Podcasts and where fine podcasts are available. They're part of the Legion Podcast Network. Follow them on Twitter at VD Clinic Pod. Join them on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/VD Clinic Pod. Or email them at vdclinicpod@gmail.com. They're ready to cure what ails you. And still, they just might be a little contagious.
Hi there. It's Heather from the Watching Netflix Without You podcast. Did you know that there are over 1,200 Netflix original feature films and documentaries? And that number is only growing. So I've made it my mission to watch as many as I possibly can. Then, with a delightful guest or guests, disclaimer, more often than not my brother Ryan, we spend an episode rating, reviewing, and discussing a film at length. The first half of every episode is spoiler-free for those who haven't seen it yet. And in the second half, after a very clear spoiler warning, we dive into it. And that's really about it. You can listen to Watching Netflix Without You on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more.
We now continue with our program.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.